So Gaius asked me to share something as we think about how to be maybe a bit more outward focused, how to be a bit more missional and share this amazing message. I think we see some of those parallels in this story, this amazing good news that's been proclaimed over Israel. So let me read that, verses 1 to 12, Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. At first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here, declares the Lord? For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful that surpasses all knowledge. That's what God brings. Good news, victory, peace, good tidings, salvation, rescue. And you see the response of all the people. The watchmen lift their voices. They shout for joy. This is the right response, right? When we see good news, if you go out to a meal, maybe you go to the mogul down the road and you have a nice meal, you tell other people about it. You say, that was quite nice. You go and watch a film in Colchester at the cinema and it's good and you tell other people about it. This is good news of good. And so there's rejoicing. You don't keep it to yourself. All the nations see it. Everyone knows about it. That's how good this news is. And that's the right response to good news, isn't it? We see it with these Chilean miners. The way they were rescued, they're in dire need, they're stuck in this mountainside. It's all gone wrong. But eventually, they drill down, they manage to rescue them. The whole world is watching. The president is there. All these different people are there. And there's rejoicing, there's partying. It's good news. And that is the right response. Now, guess what? As we've been born in this century, we're this side of the New Testament, we have more good news to celebrate, don't we? You think of Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the beginning of the good news. We've got plenty of good news, haven't we? Plenty of good news. We think of Israel, praise God, delivered them from his enemies. We look at Christ, we look at this biggest enemy, sin and death. Jesus has defeated that, amen? He's defeated death on the cross. He's died and he's rose again. That's the good news in our day that we share. And it's beautiful. It's not just news. It's not just a concept. It's not just something we discuss or you know, try and figure out. It's something we can see. Isaiah 52 says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, in the sight of the nations. People see this salvation. With Jesus, we see him. We look at what he's done. We look back in history and we look at him. John 19 says, behold the man on the cross. Not behold this concept, try and figure this thing out. No, we look at our salvation. We look at this good news. And we see the fulfillment of all these things, you know, these themes of slavery and rebellion and how we need redemption picked up in the New Testament. 1 Peter 1, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the slavery, from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. So we see this way of life that's handed down to us from our forefathers, from Adam who messed up, from Cain, from you know Moses, as great as he was, he messed up, from Israel, they kept messing up, from the kings, all these people that kept messing up. And they were sent into exile, then brought back, then sent back into exile. And that didn't do it. Money wasn't the solution. Punishment wasn't the solution. The answer is this. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. God comes down. He tabernacles with us. He comes to earth and he dies on the cross for people. He defeats death. He offers us forgiveness of sins through his sacrifice. That's the good news. We're redeemed from slavery through him. But is that news just for us? Is it just for churchgoers, people in this room, people who've grown up and went to Sunday school, people that read the Bible? No, it's not, is it? It's not. Verse 10 of Isaiah 52, this is for all nations. All the ends of the earth will see the salvation of God, will see what is done.
picture of the high street. Do those people know?
Do the people that we work with in the office or whatever our jobs are, do they know about this salvation? Do the people that we bump into at, you know, when we're doing our different hobbies, you know, whether it's golf or boxing or whatever we do, football, do they know about this message? Because it's for them. It's for everyone. Do the people across the street know about this message? Do your neighbours know about this message? It's for the ends of the earth. And it's our job to go and tell them. And what do we proclaim? We don't say, look how great we are. No, we look at Yeshua. We proclaim the salvation. You know, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. What does that sound like? It's Jesus. It's the same word. It's the same meaning. Salvation. Jesus. We proclaim the same message. We proclaim Jesus Christ. And it's not just for people in the church. It's for the whole world. What are we doing to spread this important message? Now, I get that it's hard. It's scary. Yeah, again, as a missionary, I do book tables. I'll stop people in the street. I do door knocking. And I feel like a pillock. I feel like an idiot standing there knocking on someone's door. It's freezing. Like, who are you? Are you a salesman or a Jehovah's Witness? People in the street, I'm handing out tracts. They've grabbed the tracts. They rip them up and throw them in my face. I look like a fool. You know, people, I'm doing book tables and I get Muslims who flip the table. They spit at the stuff we're doing. We look so stupid, so dirty. You know what? God looks at that. He looks at that and he says, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Those feet that have run miles and miles over those mountains that are proclaiming good news, those feet are going to be bloodied and blistered and bruised and broken. And that's what my ministry's like. And God looks at that and he says, that's beautiful. Is that stopping us from going out? Do we think we need to have all the answers? We need to have been to a Bible college and studied, you know, how to defend the faith. We need to have had a great testimony that we can share with people. Is that what's stopping you? Because it shouldn't be. All of our efforts are broken and bruised and messed up. But God says, that's beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you have beautiful feet? And if that's not enough, knowing that God is for us, we're proclaiming the same message, we're proclaiming salvation. If it's not enough to know that it's for everyone, have you counted the cost? Have you seen God on mission? Have you seen Jesus Christ, this man who was, you know, had the safety and the security and the comfort and the glory of heaven, the Son of God who came and stepped into time and history 2,000 years ago, was treated like scum, and he was tortured to death on a cross for you, for me. Do you see that? What it cost him to come, God's mission. Shouldn't that inspire us to go out? Shouldn't we imitate Christ like the Bible tells us to do, to go out of our comfort zones, to leave our security, our homes, our glory, and go out and share this important message to all the nations in the world? Should we do that? I think we should. I think we should. And you know what? We're given a purpose, aren't we, to do that. You know, God doesn't just rescue us and leave us where we are. He brings us into this new life. We're new creations, the Bible says. And that's what we see here with Israel, verses 11 to 10. So Israel, that, you know, depart, depart, go out from there. It was awake, awake at the start, and now it's depart, depart. There's something for you to do. Don't just wake up and let me, you know, sort out your problems. Depart, move on, do something different. Be use, be effective. And we see some of the words here. Don't touch any unclean thing. Come out, be pure. You who carry the vessels of the Lord. You don't need to leave in haste or go in flight because God's going to be with him. They don't have to panic and run off. God's going to be with them, before them and after them. That's Exodus language again, isn't it? They've been rescued from slavery, from this land of oppression. And God's with them. They're meant to be a holy people, and they come out and they carry the articles of the Lord. They live in a holy way, a way that is set apart, a life that's different. And that's what they're meant to do. So God, you know, he shows the need for rescue. There's this joyful news of his rescue and also a purpose that he puts in rescue. And that purpose is so important. You think of a hostage situation. You don't see it so much nowadays in this country, but you think of someone that's trapped in a building and you get a special forces team that goes in and nails all the bad guys. What do? Just leave the hostage there? No, they rescue the hostage. They take them out. They protect them. They bring them into a new state, a new way of life. And that's what God does with his people. We're his sheep. He brings us into his fold. We're brought into his family. We're not just saved, we're adopted. We're given purpose. And it's the same with Israel. They're not just left in Babylonia and, you know, their enemies are vanquished and they're just left there to start again. No, they're brought back home. They're given these vessels of the Lord, these holy ornaments. They put on new clothes, don't they, verse 1? Clothe yourself. God has put purpose in their lives, and that's what he's done with us. Now, thinking about the church, we've moved on from Israel. Christ has come, died, rose again. What's our purpose? Well, 1 Peter 2 helps us, doesn't he? As Israel, they come out, they're a holy priesthood, a royal nation. Now we are, as a church, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is all of you guys in here who trust in Christ. We're God's special possession, that you may sit at home and protect your lives and be comfortable. No, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Are we doing that? We're saved to serve. We're saved to be sent. We're saved by faith alone, but the response isn't faith alone, is it? We should declare this message. If it really is good news of good, what Christ has done for us, how he's transformed our lives, should we not share that? That's our duty now as his holy people, people that stand out in the world, not just in how we live, but in how we speak. We share this message. We declare what God has done. We declare his praises. Why? Because once you were not a people, Peter says, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. That mercy should overflow out of our lives. That love should overflow into the lives of people around us, shouldn't it? And yet again, I know that it's scary. I know that it's hard, it's tough, but that promise remains. God is going to be our rear guard. He's going to go before us in verse 12 of Isaiah. And we think of the Great Commission where Jesus, you know, before he ascended, he sent out his disciples into all the world. Go to all nations, he said, picking this up. Go to all nations, proclaim who I am, proclaim this good news, and I'm with you to the end of the age. I'm going to go before you. I'm in front of you in everything you do. I'm going to be your rear guard. I'm behind you in all that you do. I've come to live with you by my spirit. I haven't just left you as orphans. I've come to live with you. How amazing is that? And so we go out and we go out afraid. We go out looking fools. We go out and share this message, whether we take a risk at work or when someone says, what did you do at the weekend? And we sound stupid thinking about how we went to church. But you know what? God is with us by his spirit. Jesus is always with us. He's before us and after us when we do that. And so we do this afraid. Our feet get dirty, but God views them as beautiful. That's why we're saved, to declare his praises amongst all the nations. And that's what Paul picks up as we bring this to a close. Just yet again, this constant, you know, encouragement from Paul to share this important message. He says this in Romans 10, and he quotes from Isaiah 52. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That in itself is an amazing message. It's not those who are good, those who descend from Abraham. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So Paul applies it to us. He says, come on, let's go out. Everyone can be saved. Everyone, your neighbour, the person you work with, the person you bump into in the street, the binman who picks up your bins, the people sitting on the desk as you go through Tesco's or Waitrose or whatever's around here. Everyone needs this message. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's good news that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So are we sharing that? Are we seeing the desperate need? Like Israel, they were trapped, chained, enslaved. Are we seeing people around us like that? That everyone has a great need? Are we realizing that we have a great Savior for that need? That there's good news. He's defeated death. People can have a fresh start. They have a hope in him. The fear of death is gone. Their sins are forgiven. And they can enjoy God forever. And are we realizing this life, we're meant to live in light of that? To follow him, to glorify him through how we talk and how we live, and to declare his praises amongst the nations. Let's pray, because we need help with this, right? It's hard, it's scary. Even for me as a missionary, it's so hard. But let's just spend a bit of time in prayer. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you so much that you're with us. I thank you that we're born in this age where we can look back and just see how your plan of salvation has unfolded over time. So we think of Adam, you know, in the beginning, everything was good, and yet he just messed it up. Sin just ruins this world. Sin and suffering go hand in hand, Lord. And yet we thank you that you didn't just destroy Adam. You didn't just leave us to it, as you very well could have, but you promised to bring about this serpent crusher, to bring about this one who would reverse the curse, this second Adam. I thank you that, you know, even though Israel let you down, even though as the kings, David, all these people let you down, Lord, you will never let us down. And so you sent your son Jesus to live the perfect life for us, to die in our place and to rise again. Thank you for that good news of victory over death, over sin, over fear, of all these things, Lord. I thank you that we're new creations in you, simply by putting our faith in you, simply by seeing our need of you. Lord, I thank you for that beautiful message that all we need is need. It's not about us. The only thing we contribute to salvation is the sin that made it necessary, Lord. And I thank you that you're a worthy Saviour, a God who is faithful, is compassionate, gracious, forgiving to the thousandth generation. And Lord, help us to be bold and go out and share this important, life-changing message with the people around us who desperately need it. Lord, people that are stuck in a mine spiritually and they need a rescuer. And Lord, help us to go out and share this message. Bless those who do go out. Bless those who are bold, Lord. Encourage those who are doing this. But help us as a church to declare the praises of the one that called us out of darkness into your glorious light. So Lord, just bless us this week and help us to do that. Help us to represent you despite our failings, despite our dirty feet. I thank you that you look at that and say, that is beautiful. And so we give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.